Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Redmen TV. This is the Intermatch Reaction as Liverpool have just beaten Cardiff 2-0 away at, I think it's the Cardiff City Stadium, I believe. That is 9 wins on the bounce, John Reid. This is John Reid, if none of you know this lovely man. Is this the first time you've done
this setup? First time the
match, yeah. Well, you're in for a treat, everybody. But as I was saying, 9 wins on the bounce. We're doing exactly what we need to do. Keeping winning the games, keeping the pressure on City. It's boss.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a vintage performance, was it? I think we can say that. You know, certainly seen us play more attacking football, more creative football, but it was the result we needed, really, wasn't it? You know, like, everything that's gone on in the last week and a half, you know, it's all for nothing if we don't go beat Cardiff and these teams we should be beating. And, you know, we struggled a bit first half, but ultimately, you know, I think the quality showed through, to be honest, really. And, you know, some would argue a bit lucky with the way some of the goals happened, but for me, I think, you know, ultimately it was the right result, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. So we'll go to the start. Team comes out, Genie over Fabinho, and a lot of people are saying, you know, is this the game to bring Gomez back in? Do you rotate Matip? But he sticks with Matip. When Adam comes over Fabinho, what are your thoughts on the team?
It was the right team, I think. I mean, Genie's been one of the most consistent players this season, I think, and he's you know, he's needed a break and he's certainly needed some time away, I think, to kind of like get his fitness back and not burn out. But, you know, this is exactly the type of game I think, you know, you'd have him in for. He's safe pair of hands, you know, and you know, I can completely understand given why, you know, Fabinho doesn't seem to me, when we watch him, he's by 70 sometimes, he can seem a bit gassed. I think that was the right move. The Gomez one, I think, was interesting. Obviously comes on later in the match, but especially with his cameo and stuff against Porto, you think maybe, you know, we might have got the nod, or even just a cameo at right back. I know when we were doing the build up show, you were saying Ross was saying he might appear at right back, and I thought that would have been an interesting shout. But I had no problems with the team.
No, I completely agree, mate. I think we're at a point now where everyone knows all the players are boss. You know, there's even like the Naby Keita and Jordan Henderson, players that months in the past were sort of, They're not for this Liverpool team this season. You know, we'll give them another season, see what happens to them. But I think Wijnaldum, you're right, I think he was tired the past few weeks, but bear in mind, he plays all the international breaks. He's not like sort of Robertson and Trent where they sort of sit out because we need him so much. He plays more, he clearly loves playing for the Netherlands, but he has needed a rest, and he looked rested. And I think when the likes of Cardiff, Neil Warnock weren't going to come out and press you, were they? I don't think you needed Fabinho there, who's the guy that's the master of breaking up play when you're being pressed. You know, he's a calm head, he can make excellent tackles. Genie absorbs pressure, he moves the ball well, and people forget, like, he was phenomenal the first half of this season. He has looked tired, but I think it was the right call bringing him back in.
I think it wasn't. I think, you know, it's a confident team decision to kind of put that team out and go. Like you say, you know, we don't necessarily need a lad who's going to break play up and kind of recycle it. We're just going to go with our three lads. It's the front three. And there's three lads in the midfield who would just go from at you and pressure, and that's, you know, you can argue, I suppose, that, like, you know, Klopp's got his lads, and his lads are his lads at the minute. But you know, it's a confident decision, I think, to come out and go, look, you know, we know what we're about. We're going to attack you. We're going to pressure you. Yous are just going to put, you know, four lads in midfield. You know, four lads behind them and behind the ball, and, you know, we're just going to go at this. And, you know, at some point you're going to crack.
Yeah, no, I agree, mate. And I think the Gomez thing as well. It's just, I think we'll see Gomez. I think as we're now in the semi-finals to Barcelona and hopefully pushing on post the Premier League and looking to get again to our second final of the Champions League 2 seasons in a row, I think Gomez could be really instrumental in that. I think Percy will see him against Huddersfield at home. You know, Huddersfield a relegated team, and it's a safer bet to bring him in there if Klopp's plan is integrate Gomez before next season.
Do you think he makes, that's the only change he makes for Huddersfield, or do you think he makes more changes in terms of, like, he rotates it a bit? Do you maybe see Shaqiri or something coming on?
Yeah, that's a strange one, because I think that game is a really important one in terms of sort of A, how we see Huddersfield, and B, sort of viable options for the rest of the season, because obviously, to say Cater's come back in, Henderson's more in a more advanced role. We've seen Lallana, obviously, but he's injured. We've not seen much of Shaqiri, and I think that's a testament of, if we see him in at Huddersfield, okay, he's still in contention, but if we don't, then I think it's a case of maybe he's just not the guy this season. Maybe he's just not learnt enough yet with the opportunities he's been given to sort of be a mainstay in and around this team. But who knows? So Huddersfield's next week. We'll look at that then when it comes. But this game, the first half, I think we were in control. I think there was only one breakaway sprint that their winger made. He was absolutely rapid, to be fair to him. But we had a handful of chances. Just seemed to be putting everything over the bar. You know, it wasn't for lack of trying. But did that make you frustrated, or were you quite calm?
A bit of both, really. I mean, you kind of want, I think with chances like that, they were great chances, and you kind of want the team to just kind of put the game to bed early. Yeah, you know, yeah. We had three or four where you think we could be 2 or 3 nil up here type thing, and you know, and then you can start rotating the squad a bit, maybe bringing a Gomez on, those types of things, and just have it done. But there's also a kind of thing, it's weird that, like, I've kind of got, especially with that stat that Sky keep putting out saying how we keep scoring in the last 15 minutes of games and stuff. I've weirdly become this season, in terms of like last season and the season before being a bag of rags if we hadn't at the end of the first half. And even, to be honest, watching the game, you know, Tom as well, you know, we were also then, he kind of said, you know, fucking hell, like, you know, and I can understand it, and that is frustrating, but at the same time, I just think I've seen enough this season, and this late into the season as well, to know that we're going to come good whatever happens, I think. Ultimately, that is what happened.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I don't think there's never really an air of sort of, oh, we need to score here, sort of any of this stuff, even against the top opposition, like with your likes of Spurs. You know, we can challenge, we can play our game, and it might not just be coming off, but you can see that there's clear opportunities, we're doing the right things, and it's just a case of this one of these is going to fall, and for us, and it obviously inevitably does. But Gini Wijnaldum, of all people, off of a corner, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I said sort of as it came on, that's a terrible cross. You know, we're so used to throwing him in back stick or sort of near post for a flick on, but Gini Wijnaldum comes into the gaping space that's left and absolutely rockets one.
It was a striker's finish, wasn't it? He full on side thrust it into the net. I loved it. And like the relief as well for him, I think you know, he's another player who, you know, I don't think the fans get on his back in the same way maybe some people get on Henderson's back, but the millstone, you know, the stick you're going to beat Wijnaldum with is the kind of, you know, the goal scoring thing, especially, you know, coming from Newcastle, having scored, was it 11-12 goals that season, and I think you could see like the relief from him was palpable. But also I think, you know, the relief from the team, you know, like you say, like, you know, a first half of squandered chances, and, you know, we were like, when was the goal, like 57 minutes in, something like that,
literally 57.
pretty much ours. you know, it was kind of that time in the game where you do start thinking, like, fucking hell, like, is this going to come, do we need to make some changes, that type of thing. So I think it was a great relief for him, I think, but also a great relief for the team, and an absolutely wonderful finish.
Absolutely, mate. And the big thing for me is sort of we touted sort of at the start of the season, we're playing a more fullback game. You know, we lost with the loss of Oxlade-Chamberlain towards the end of last season, and this season we're crying out saying we need a 10. You know, Nabil Fekir sort of drama was continuing on and through the start of the season, saying we need a creative midfielder. That's why we're not scoring as many goals. That's why Salah's not off on his feet as much as he was. But I saw the point, and I've seen, and I was going to say, we changed our games to utilise the fullbacks more. That became our system. But you're seeing now that goal scoring midfielders is what's coming up with the goods in the last sort of few weeks. You know, you've seen Keita get goals, Henderson get goals and assists. Now, Gini Wijnaldum and James Milner get on the score sheet again. And it's such an important faucet to have in terms of, if it's not clicking up front, you need men behind the ball. Van Dijk's obviously scored 4 goals for assists this season. He's still a guy that's getting goals. You need goal scorers all over the pitch that can pick up the pieces when it's not quite working for your front three.
Yeah, I think it's a confidence thing. And I think it's, you know, we were talking during the game of kind of, you know, like this competition, Trent and Robbo have got going on in terms of the assists. I think you've seen a little bit of that, to be honest, with the midfield, especially with the kind of thing of Henderson moving forward. And it's taken most of a season maybe for it to happen, for it to click. But, you know, I think you haven't seen the kind of what the added dimension Firmino's brought to the team, and Keita when he's been good, you know, the things that he's brought. I think some of the other lads have kind of, you know, it's brought their game on, which is what you want, but also it's brought them on in a kind of thing of, you know, like, okay, well, I don't have to just do all this busy work, you know, I can get forward, get into the area and stuff. And Milner's always had that in this game. I think Wijnaldum's always had it to a degree, but we haven't seen it obviously in a red shirt. And then, you know, obviously Henderson's, there's loads of stuff about Henderson moving position, but it's exactly what you want. And, you know, I think we're at that stage now as a team and as a club where a lot of teams now are doing the thing that they do to City, where they just go, look, we're just going to put 10 men behind the ball. And it means you can play more like that. It means you can have more lads moving forward and play with one lad in the middle of the park and two lads ahead of them, you know what I mean, who join the attack.
No, I completely agree, mate. I think you've hit the nail on the head there with terms of confident. Like, when nobody likes playing teams that know they're good. You know, there's been a lot of teams in the past, sort of like, you know, Arsenal, Spurs at points this season. You know, there's quality there, but you see that there's inconsistencies at the same time, whereas this Liverpool team, this Manchester City team, know that they're a team full of boss players. They've got a boss manager, they've got a boss style of football, and other teams respect it because they know that belief in themselves just strikes fear into the heart of your opponent. But as we see Fabinho come on, you know, so we're like, okay, we're 2-0 up, sorry, 1-0 up, well, let's try and shore it up a little bit. You know, Keita had a good game, but he was sort of probably the least effective of the midfielders left on the pitch. You take Keita off, bring Fabinho on, and I don't think he was even on the pitch for a minute before he obviously has a terrible head injury, and he's replaced by James Milner. Now, obviously, there's no news that's come out yet about Fabinho. We're doing this whilst the post-match press conference is going on, but it looked more like sort of maybe a slight bit of concussion and maybe just sort of take him off just to be safe. You know, we don't need to take any risks.
Yeah, you hope it's not a long term one or anything too serious. We saw the physio obviously doing the whole thing, like checking his vision and stuff.
Giving him one of them.
You hope it's a precautionary thing that they took him off just to be safe. Yeah. And I can't remember who it was recently, but someone came, I remember there was one a few months ago where one of the lads came back on and felt dizzy and fell over again. And you're thinking, you don't want to make it worse, do you? Especially, you know, for him first and foremost, but also, you know, when we have the.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Options on the bench, so it's a shame really, because I think it's a game where we were in the ascendancy and, you know, he could have come on and made a big difference. Not that he had to ultimately, but it would have been nice to see him, you know, hopefully he'll be fine for the rest of the game.
Of course, we're doing the final word immediately after this, so potentially by the time we film that, there will be news, so make sure you go and check that out over on theredmentv.com straight after this show. It'll be going out tonight, so you got your instant final word reaction almost.
But anyway, back to the game. So,
in a way, obviously, you said that it's good that we've got options when sort of you bring a big name player on the pitch like Fabinho, who sort of, you know exactly what he's going to do, and that slow the game down, make it a lot more controlled. But replacing him with James Milner sort of turned out to be a really excellent substitution in the end, obviously, because Mo Salah then, for the second goal, goes up the other end, wins a penalty. Just first of all, just to appease Tom Dutton, who for some reason was confused as to whether this was a penalty or not. John Reid, was it a penalty?
It was very much a penalty. Yeah. He had him in a rock bottom about 4 hours.
Tweet
Tom and ask him if it was a pen. We all agree it was definitely a pen, but Tom wasn't sure. It was a pen.
He spent about 5 minutes of the story of the match that you'll probably see of just going, I think he's got to stay up there. And we're all just looking at him like, Tom,
fuck off.
You're doing yourself no favours here. But as I was saying, James Milner, you know, we were saying if Milner's not on the pitch, who takes it? And it's Mo Salah. But Mo Salah's a good penalty taker, but he's not James Milner. So he's not missed a penalty this Premier League season. I can't even remember the last time he missed a penalty for Liverpool, and puts away an absolutely fantastic penalty. You know, keeper's bottom left, puts us 2-0 up, and sort of at that point, it was the 81st minute, you're like, that's what we needed.
It was perfect, and the celebration topped it for me.
Excellent.
absolute scenes in the OI end. There's not a lot you can say about Milner. I don't think he's the consummate professional, isn't he? He's the steady hand, you know, he's the kind of, you know, that figure that you need in the squad and want in any football squad, I think, who can come on and make things safe and just knows what he's doing. But I thought, given the way he came on, especially as well with the injury, he he came on, just a safe pair of hands, you know, he did everything he needed to do, and actually weirdly got involved in the attack and play a lot more than I thought he might have. I thought he'd come on and just kind of sit and just, you know, kind of break things up, but he actually got involved in the attack and play. And like you say, to come on and, you know, take a pen like that, and, you know, he's added, you know, so much to the team over the last two or three seasons, either in terms of assists in the Champions League last year on the way there, or you know, in terms of his penalty taking and stuff, he's still, I think, a vital cog of the team, and that adds something that we don't have in some of the other players.
No, I completely agree, mate. And it's one of those where when you list a team that's obviously that's brilliant and could go on to win things, you go through it and you've got your likes of your front three, Van Dijk, Fabinho, Alisson, all these players that will be touted as sort of like, this is the reason why Liverpool are where they are. But you need players like James Milne, you know, the unsung heroes that don't get any of the plaudits, don't really get any of the media attention, but are there every time you need them, putting the shift in and putting appearances in that are really important goals. Like you say, goals, assists. Just Milne as an individual is just a very class act. And like I say, there's sort of, if Leeds come up this next season, there's sort of murmurings that maybe he'll go and finish his career at Leeds, and it'll be really hard to see him go because he's been an excellent servant at Liverpool.
He'd be brilliant for them, I think, if they did come up, and that he'd add the right type of experience, wouldn't he? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so for a newly promoted team that just needs a bit of Premier League,
and especially if, like, he took I don't know who the captain is at Leeds, but if he took the captaincy, say, or something in that look, but he definitely have that kind of thing. I really don't want to see him go.
No, I agree.
I think, like, you know, I don't think there's many questions now around him being the best free transfer I think we've ever had.
And, absolutely.
I'd love to see the club give him a new deal and maybe do another couple of years, or however long he thinks he's got left, to be honest, at the top level.
It was personified by a celebration, wasn't it? I'm sure you've all seen it, where he gives it sort of the achy back walking stick, saying to everyone, sort of like, they call him old, you know, they call him the old man of this football club. But like I was saying earlier,
his thing, by the way, just as a complete aside, that his role reversal on that boring James Milne thing is just absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Like, who knew he was literally like one of the funniest, soundest men in football.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's still boss at football at the age that he's at.
Although he's just absolutely ace in life, isn't he?
Yeah, and he just typifies sort of this group of lads that we've got at the football club, and it's like, you're right, I don't want to lose any of these characters. I can't wait for Ox to come back in because I absolutely love him on and off the pitch. And James Milne is very much one of those characters that's just, he personifies exactly what it is to be a Liverpool Football Club player.
One of the things I love actually at the minute as well, just to touch on like you're saying there, is we joked about it during the game, but kind of like the reactions to some of the goals lately, I think show, you know, you can argue it's a title running thing, I think, but it shows that just how much it means to them, but also how much that they're enjoying the football and the fact that they're celebrating as a squad and stuff. You know, it's not just Mo scored, everyone give him a high five. It's you know, like when Aldo gets a goal, everyone's made up for him. You know, Henderson the other week. We've had a few recently where we've had, like, you know, kind of like lads who haven't really chipped in much this season, but are now starting to do a few goals. And I just think that's great, because I just think, you know, the manager does says a lot about kind of the culture around the squad and the culture around the club, and, you know, the fact that we're calm and stuff, and you can see, you know, how he is on the touchline, and see Guardiola how he is on the touchline, absolutely, you know, ripping what little hair he has left out. But you don't see that in our players, and I think that's brilliant that they clearly have bought into what he's saying, and very much it's not just a show thing, they really do enjoy playing football, which is being in each other's company.
No, absolutely, and it's that whole, like, it's from the manager to the starting 11 to the bench to even sort of transfer committee to chairman, all of, like, just this. In my lifetime, I'm only 21, so I've got a much smaller sort of lifespan of knowing Liverpool Football Club more than you, sort of Chris and Paul and the likes of that. But even in my lifetime,
I'm not that old.
Nah, you've got a few years on me, but it's a case of, like, it's always been, you know, your Alonso's, your Gerrard's, your Suarez's, your Torres's. It's always been a handful of names amongst teams that are average. You're in an era of Liverpool where there's a few shining lights in sort of what is overall sort of quite a poor sort of setup at the football club. But this feels like everything's bang on. Like, I wouldn't change one thing about the way the football club's run. Sort of, and I say it every time, we're just so lucky to have this now.
No, it is, you know, this is the best Liverpool team I've ever seen play football. And again, you know, but what's really reassuring for me isn't just me saying that. It's people, again, who were older than me saying that, who lived through all kind of...
Through the 90s, the 80s.
The 70s, the 80s and the 90s, and saw all kind of the teams we speak of in legend type thing. But it can do a bit of everything, I think, which is the thing I love. And, you know, I've spoke on other shows in the past at length about why I love Rafa's 08-09 team and stuff. And what I liked about them was it was like such a well-oiled machine, but it played one style of football pretty much.
Yeah.
And like you say, it had a group of lads who were brilliant and just a kind of...
And they dragged sort of the rest of them up.
Dragged the rest of them up, whereas this isn't that. We obviously got some... Obviously, I've got some world-class players in this team, but... you know, everyone plays a role. Everyone, like you say, everyone's a vital component to what we're doing, and it's not just a team that can just play one way. It's a team that can smother and attack you, but it's a team that's, you know, we've got the best defensive record in the league.
Yep.
You know,
most clean sheets,
one of the best at set pieces and stuff. You know, we can do a bit of everything and mix it with a bit of everybody, and that's overall, I suppose, bringing it back to Cardiff is one of the more interesting things about this game. You know, I've seen so many different sides to this Liverpool team throughout the course of the season, and this again was a different test, and you know, on the back of the City Spurs thing, you know, knowing that going into it again, I suppose that anybody could have been deflated going in, you know, and you know, we could have let that get to us. And in the past, we have, you know, I'm sure if, you know, I don't know how much you were watching the 13-14 season, but I was kind of every game, and it did get in our heads a bit, I think. And this hasn't, which I'm glad, you know what I mean? It's become so much, we've matured in such a good way, I think.
Yeah, like you say, even with when you've got so many key players in your team like Trent, who are 20 years old, and they still know and understand how to keep a cool head in situations like this. It just speaks volumes to not only this season but the future of this football club for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So, but of course, it's always this season specifically, it comes down to Manchester City. You know, it comes down to will they drop points at some point in the season? It's back over to them on Wednesday against Manchester United. Just quickly, how do you think that's going to go? Is it a case of United have been that poor, they need to bounce back in a game against Manchester City? Because it would be the most United thing to be shite and then come back and beat City and do us a favour. Or do you think it's ropes for them this season?
I think it might be Burnley. I really want to believe that that United team can do well, and they seem a bit like, you know, like rabbit in the headlights, a bit like playing Barca. They seemed a bit shell shocked, like if Hellwick, we haven't come up against this, and the same with Everton, really, that it's that back line. I don't know what it is with De Gea, what's happened to him in the last 2 or 3 weeks. He just seems to be making a
change. Down tools a bit, hasn't he?
Down tools, yeah. But I don't know, we might be never thought to be relying on Sean Dyche to help us win a league title, but there we are.
But yeah, like I say, every cloud though, if it comes to a point where you're relying on a Brendan Rodgers' Leicester and a Sean Dyche's Burnley over a Manchester United team, then it shows the levels that we've superseded that football club.
There'd be something very poetic in Burnley toppling City, and also after 13-14 Rodgers helping us win the league.
Yeah.
Both of those, I'm up for both of them. Can we make that happen?
Yeah, come on, that's got to happen. But all we can do is keep on winning these games. You know, another 2-0 win today, pretty convincing in the end. But like I say, that's all it can be. Huddersfield next, but we've got all of the post-match stuff from this game coming out. So final word and man of the match show, we're coming out tonight, and we're building up to Huddersfield starting on Monday. So thank you very much, John. It was lovely. It was a pleasure. Make sure you like, subscribe to Redmen TV. Jump over to RedmenTV.com because we will be filming the final word very, very soon, and it will be out within the next couple of hours. So yeah, make sure you check that out. We'll see you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.